and something that I'm really, really interested in. The notion of designing for learning, and James had a session yesterday where he talked about it. I've been to a number of presentations where the presenters have been talking about this and talking about it in what I think are really clear and articulate ways. But the notion of going into a classroom with a learning plan, having in mind a particular way of doing things, and that plan designed in a way to enable the learners to undertake particular forms of engagement. And so the idea of a learning design is really important. What interests me is that in lots and lots of our universities, there is no learning design in the type of setting that we put students in. When someone walks into a classroom and stands up and delivers, as I'm doing here, there is nothing in this that's got anything necessarily powerful about a learning design. You are being informed, and you're taking the information. The research shows that this is not a particularly good way of helping people to learn. It's a good way of inspiring, motivating, and perhaps passing information. But it's a very temporary state. It has to be followed by some active engagement. And that's the nature of what a learning design is. We've done some work at our place and in recent years looking at, you know, when learners are in university settings, the extent to which they engage with what they're doing. And one of the projects that we worked on had looked at three different types of learner cognition. It wasn't a particularly scientific study, but it was looking at the level of engagement of learners' minds. And we sort of used the sense of information access. The state you're in now, you're listening. But there are lots of other ways of being in a state of information access when you are reading, observing, watching, browsing. Things where your brain's not particularly highly turned on. Information organisation is the next state up where you are actually doing something with the information that you're gathering. So if some of you are thinking now about your own teaching and trying to imagine the things that I'm saying and how that might relate, you might be in this next state of engagement where your brain is ticking over at a little bit of a higher pace. Perhaps the highest state of engagement we can have our learners in is what we call information processing, where the learners are really engaged. So they're articulating, arguing, reflecting. And this model presents quite a nice way of considering learners' minds. Now, when you look at a lot of university teaching and learning, a predominant amount of what we do at the moment is information access, where people are reading, often for no purpose, simply because they have got big lots of readers to read through. Textbooks are often the same. Now, the nature of authentic learning, as Jan would have mentioned on Monday, is that you give students purpose for reading, so that when they're reading and perhaps trying at a high level of engagement. But we found in a lot of our work that predominantly in uni settings, the predominant type of access is the one on the left, information access. There is a limited amount of information processing. Good learning designs or strong learning designs are aimed to helping your learning setting create lots and lots of opportunities for information processing, which is where we know learning occurs. So the work that I've been doing, and a number of people here have been doing, has been this notion of trying to discover what might be some learning designs. What are ways in which we can look at powerful learning settings that our colleagues have put together, often with technology, and organising ourselves so that we can share and reuse these. So it's quite a laudable sort of idea, isn't it? If there's good people out there with teaching their students in ways which are effective that can be demonstrated to be so, is it possible for us to identify what they are doing, remove the subject context and try and discover what is the design of the learning, and then turn that into an entity which can be shared and reused? I think the idea of shareable learning designs came about at the time when we were having lots and lots of learning objects being generated. And the intention was we have all of these items which can be used in learning settings. Is there some way of tying them together in a way that makes for effective learning? But there's been a lot of problems in this work, and in our early days, I don't think we achieved the goals that we were seeking. The first thing is, when you're designing for learning, trying to work out what level of learning you are seeking. So, in other words, is it for a course? Does a learning design describe a course of study? Actually, the other day someone asked Jan whether or not a learning design could in fact encapsulate a university setting, a program, all the courses put together. That's an interesting question to think about. But typically what we find is that when people design for learning, they design way, way down at the activity level, so at the micro level where it's part of an overall program. And we think it probably could be done a little bit better done at a higher level. So generally speaking, when you see the way people are teaching, they'll talk about particular